Hey girl, hey, and thanks for dropping in to the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. Candid convo for the girl needing a lifestyle plot twist when she's deciding if it's time to switch, pivot, or quit. I'm Ayana Angel, a former sports entertainment publicist in New York City, turned traditionally published author with Simon & Schuster, who quit my old life to write a book, live in London for a bit, and explore my dreams to find my happiness and fulfillment. I'm here to help encourage and guide you through your plot twist as your chief encourager and host of the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. Let's get this conversation started. On today's show, we're chatting with Sharon Beeson, who is a business strategy consultant, speaker, and serial entrepreneur. She founded Brooklyn, New York's first concierge company, All About Brooklyn Concierge. In 2015, Sharon founded Womenure, which is a platform that was created in an effort to provide tools, resources, advice, events, motivation, and community to help propel the growth of female entrepreneurs. Sharon began her extensive career in the corporate world as an accounting professional and designated certified public accountant. As she continued to progress in her profession, she decided to leave her very lucrative corporate career to become an entrepreneur. Since making her own Switch, Pivot, or Quit, Sharon has been featured in major publications including The Daily News, The New York Times, Time Out New York, and Black Enterprise, among others. I am so excited to have Sharon on the show. Can't wait for you guys to hear all the straight talk, all the goodness, all the real that we are going to get into on this episode. So let's go ahead and get started. So today, Sharon is going to give you some tools to help navigate the apprehension and excitement you may have as we head into 2018. This conversation will help you begin to wrap your mind around your expectations, useful tactics, and goal setting. So excited to have you on the show today, Sharon. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Ayana. I appreciate you having me on your podcast.
Absolutely. So let's go ahead and get started. And I want to find out from you, what are some of the things that you do to get yourself in particular prepared for entering a new year or a new season?
That's a really good question. There's actually layers to that. No, seriously, they are. You know, honestly, I've learned long ago, Ayana, not to wing, like seriously, like just to stop winging shit, right? Like just stop winging things. And so I have put myself into a space where literally I am planning everything that I have to do is documented. And I do my own little self audits. And so in terms of getting prepared for the new year, I literally have my end of the year checklist. And like I said, I audit myself to see, did I hit my goals? Did I hit my milestones? And literally assess everything that I've done and document how I can make it better in the new year. So pretty much that's what I do. I am very strict on goal setting. And so that's a big thing for me, is to goal set. I need to have that roadmap to see where I'm going. I need to make it tangible so that I can literally write it down, touch it, and then, you know, cross those things off as I hit them, right? So pretty much bottom line, that's what I do. I goal set, and it really keeps me pumped and amped to move into the next year. I literally can see and, you know, get excited about what I have to do. So I plan the shit out of everything.
I like that. I mean, you know, because a lot of us, we take for granted how much of an impact planning can actually have. And we say these things to ourselves like, oh, I have it all in my head. I know what I need to do. I don't need to write it down. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you really want to make success and progress and also help yourself to feel like you're checking things off, it's always good to have some tangible way to see it, whether it's on a computer or writing it down, whatever. So you work with many clients conducting business strategy sessions. For those listening that have ambitions of starting a new project in the new year or embarking on a new business venture, what tips would you give them to say maybe help them stay on track with their goals?
You know what? One of the biggest things that I see my clients do, and just people in general, because, you know, I have my eye on Instagram, right? I'm dead serious.
I know.
I'm either watching my clients or I'm either watching the members of my collective. You know, I just see things in general. And one of the biggest struggles I see my clients have is with time management, right? And and in my opinion, time management, goal setting, they're all aligned with each other. So one of the things is people tend to overwhelm themselves, right?
Right.
I feel that these individuals, my clients, and people in general tend to bite off more than they can chew. Mm. And so in terms of goal setting, they'll in their head, oh my goodness, I want to do this. I want to do that. And then they start out all, you know, excited and amped. And then because they have put too many things into overdrive or just gotten too overzealous, then they wind up not being able to fulfill their goals. So number one, in terms of staying on track with your goals, number one, be extremely realistic with your time. Like seriously, don't commit yourself to something you just don't have the time to do. It just will just crumble, right? So write it down. Like seriously, write that shit down. Erica Badu said it. Write shit down and watch it get real, right? So seriously, write it down. I know I work with several things, right? I work with a physical planner, right? I love a blue sky planner, right? And that's why I literally have it. Write everything in my everything that's in my schedules and my appointments, everything. But then I sync it, and I suggest people automate things, right? Like work with something that will notify you and remind you that you have appointments. Work with something where you could write something down and see what has to be done, right? But the biggest thing is to plan and then work backwards and do it a little at a time. Don't try and say you're going to get 10 things done in one day and then you feel overwhelmed because when you look at your list, right, and then you can't get anything done. So, you know, to stay on track with your goals, write everything down, work in increments, right? Prioritize. What I do with my list, I categorize it by high priority, medium priority, low priority, literally, and then things that can get done quickly. Right. And it makes me feel good because then I have a sense of calmness when I see what needs to be done. So I implore everyone to really write it down, work with schedulers. You can work with an Excel spreadsheet. There's a really good tool called Smartsheets, and you can literally document your day. But like I said, visualize it, right? Plan ahead, but then work backwards. So that way you are not overwhelming yourself.
Right.
That's pretty much it.
Right. You know, you made me think of something. Like a lot of people don't necessarily have like business plans and things like that when they're starting on a new business venture. And I understand the overwhelm that business plans can give people. But I do recommend like writing down or having some way to sort of capture all of your thoughts and ideas. And what I actually started doing this year was I made an Excel sheet, and you made me think of it when you said that, an Excel sheet with my goals. So instead of having some miscellaneous Word doc with goals in it or a business plan in it, I just put it in a way that it can be checked off. So if I printed that out, I can just see like in a grid, like what needs to be done or what I'm looking towards. So, you know, if for those listening out there, if you feel like having this Word doc full of all of these, you know, crazy words and bullets and all of this is too overwhelming for you, maybe you try another route, like Sharon said, putting things maybe in an Excel sheet or something that's approachable for you. So you're known for being a straight shooter, Sharon. However, not all are outspoken and vocal about their aspirations or goals. So how do introverts get ahead? What tools or tips can an introvert use to navigate being a bit more vocal in getting what they want?
That's a really good question. You know, because to me, introvert, I'm always like, what's that, right? Yeah. Like, I've just been, you know, kind of rambunctious and outspoken and a straight shooter my entire life, right? Uh-huh. So introverts, and I get that. I see a lot of people online who they say they're introverts, but I would never know that, right?
Right.
So you don't always see the introvert. Why? Because it is easier communicating online versus in person. A lot of people are behind the scenes. But my one thing that I have to say, honestly, is just do it, right? Like, don't say, okay, I'm going to, you know, just get on camera and film, or do get on video and film, you know, an hour long session or whatever the case may be. take baby steps, right? So you have to, you literally have to force yourself to come out of your fear of being extroverted, right? And you have to learn to get in touch with a side of you that will allow you to come outside of your introvertedness, right? So what I say, you know what? Listen, just do it. Just if you know you need to do video marketing, do something that's 10 seconds. Get on video, Instagram stories, right? And do something that's 10 seconds. And you know what? A lot of the times I hear people saying, wow, I really enjoyed that. You'll shock yourself, right? And another thing that you can do is honest. Just be honest. Just think of being transparent. Share your authenticity. Share your stories. Share that vulnerable side of you. And you know what? Just like I said, you if you're not comfortable with it, if you see you're not getting a response, just delete the post or whatever the case is. But no, I'm being honest. But you know what? Just honestly, I implore someone to just be vulnerable, be genuine, put the post up and literally just like shut the laptop down, put the computer away,
walk away,
and let it flow, right? Like, don't allow your emotions to hinder you. But in all honesty, that's what it is. You literally just have to do it. Like, get outside of your head. And like I said, you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised at how much you may like it or enjoy it or whatever the case may be. It just allows you to step outside of yourself.
I like that where you say, you know, just do it and be vulnerable, because a lot of times, maybe if you tell people too, like, hey, I'm apprehensive about this, you know, they'll be more welcoming and you'll find that the response is really better than you could have expected, because there's a lot of people that feel the same things and they might be even more so willing to champion you because you're doing what they haven't yet done, you know? So yeah, that's true. Be authentic. In your opinion, what are some of the key character traits that it takes to excel in business, whether it be entrepreneurship or if you're trying to climb the corporate ladder? What are some of those key traits that one should maybe have?
That's a really good question. And in my opinion, what I have experienced and what I really truly see other people who are also successful in their own right or have reached, you know, the successes, you know, that other people feel they want to be in that position. People are consistent. Right. You definitely have to be consistent. You definitely have to show up. Now, I'm not just saying go to the goddamn event. Right. I'm saying put your game face on. I'm saying come prepared, be professional, have your elevator pitch ready. Right. Don't overwhelm people. Be prepared to share. Right. And also the corporate ladder, because I've really spent some time in the corporate years. Just, you know what? Honestly, put your best foot forward. You really have to develop a kind of like a hard shell, because in entrepreneurship or whether you're climbing the ladder, there are going to be so many naysayers, so many people saying you can't do this, you can't do that. You literally just have to put your best foot forward. Think about what you want to become known as. I always tell my clients this, and I always tell my women who are tribe this. What is it you want people to say about you when you leave the room, right? And so think of these things. If you want to be known as the connector, then shit, start connecting, right? Start putting people on, right? If you want to be known as that person, who's all about women's empowerment and advocates that, then do that, right? Like, in order to excel, you have to get people to trust you. And in order to get people to trust you and want to work with you, you have to walk the walk and talk the talk, right? You have to be that person that quacks like a duck, sounds like a duck, and is that damn duck. At the end of the day, right, you are what you say you do. Period. You are what you do. That's it. So some of the key character traits that it takes, you know, are just be honest, be genuine, show up, be a person of your word, right? Become known. Like I said, really become known for something, because whether you're building your brand or whether you're building your personality in business and climbing the corporate ladder, You need to become known for something. And that's what will get you promoted. That's what will get you that raise. That's what will get you in the door to a meeting to get that contract. That's what will get you those referrals. That's what will get you into that speaking engagement. That's what will get you into the door in many things, because there's chatter being said about you. And you are also consistent in what you say you are and what you say you do. And pretty much that's what I feel are, you know, some key characteristics. Just be consistent who you say you are and what you do. And that will really open up a lot of doors for you.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree with that one. So for those who are listening, who are maybe thinking like, wow, I don't really know what my core strengths are, like what I'm really good at. Do you have any tips or maybe how you figured out what your core strengths were, how you sort of went about that process to identify like, hey, these are the things I'm really good at. These are the things I should highlight and showcase whenever I can.
That's a really good question. Well, you know, like I said, I first started out in the corporate world and, you know, I sat and passed the CPA exam, the certified public accountant. So, you know, I am extremely good with detail. And so when I first started my first business, you know, it was a concierge business. And why? It was because I was good with organization skills. I was good with details. I was good with doing a lot of admin work and, you know, the follow-ups and things of that nature. Listen, a lot of people really are not aware of their core strengths a lot of the time. And this is one of the things that entrepreneurs struggle with, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of delegating it, the work, they will struggle to try and improve on something that they will never improve on no matter what, right?
Right.
That, seriously, that's like me sitting out here trying to build a goddamn website. It's just never going to happen. Mm-hmm. I can sit in as many courses as I want. I will never have the passion for it. So to answer your question, right? Sometimes it really just comes to you, right? And it will come to you from people saying, oh, wow, you're really good at this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness, you're really good at that. Oh my God, can you help me do that? A lot of it starts from that, right? Mm-hmm. And think about it. Look at a lot of these really successful companies that have started. It came about from something so simple, right? So in terms of identifying your core strengths, you really, truly have to sit down and dig a little deep, right?
Right.
Sit down and really think about when you're doing things, how you feel, right? Mm-hmm, if mm-hmm. something is making you feel good and you're just like, wow, I'm doing this and I love doing it and the time goes by, what is that? What is that or what are those things, right? But when you're sitting there doing shit that, oh my God, and it just feels so task oriented and right. you feel so unmotivated doing it, you need to identify those. Like literally write down a list of what you feel good doing that just you could do all day, you know, and how can it benefit people? And also write down what you don't like, because those are the areas you either need to delegate or get help with, right?
Right.
So pretty much that's it. Like I said, it takes a little soul searching and digging deep, right? And mm-hmm. and that's pretty much what it takes. Sit right. down and assess your damn self. That's it.
Right. So you, I mean, it's just like I always say with this whole process and personal development and all of that, because that is included in personal development, finding out what your core strengths are. You have to be willing to put forth the effort and take the time and be open and pay attention to what's happening around you, right? Because if people are constantly telling you, oh, you're a really good problem solver, or you're very resourceful. Okay, that's probably one of your strengths, and you probably overlooked it because it just comes natural to you. So, yeah, I like that. Just pay attention to what's happening around you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Pay attention, seriously.
So true. It's so true. And I, you know what? It's funny because that's a part of what helped me with my switch, pivot, or quit was finally, after just asking myself, what are you going to do next? What are you going to do next? I finally just started thinking, what do I like to do? What are you good at? What have people been telling you you're good at and you just kind of brushed it off and dismissed it? And that's when things started really clicking. So sometimes you just got to be quiet for a second too and just pay attention. Yeah. So
absolutely.
What are, What are the keys to learning how to leverage those core strengths to drive greater results? Once you figure out what they are, what are some of the ways that you can potentially go about putting them out there now that you've had this aha moment and you know sort of like what your core strengths are? What are some of the ways to go about just kind of helping yourself to use them more, maybe strategically?
Well, I mean, I'm going to answer this question from, of course, you know, wanting to start a business with your core strengths. Listen, there are so many steps involved in starting a business, right? And being able to leverage your strengths, you first of all have to decide or find out or figure out, can your strengths be aligned with solving a problem that someone may have? Right. Because that's how you start a successful business. Right. It's not from you starting a business based on a solution you can offer. Right. Your core strengths must align with a service or product that you're offering that will solve someone's problem. So, in other words, the problem must exist in order for you to first figure out how to align your strengths with it to solve a problem. And what's involved with that is market research, right? You document your strengths. You see, market research is essential. It is key, right? Because the goal is to gain a piece of the market, right? Or corner a piece of the market, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to look to see who else is doing it. Right. So if a lot of other people are doing it, of course, the problem exists. Right. Then you have to see how you can position yourself to, of course, start your business and do everything that's involved in starting a business. But one of the key things to leveraging your core strengths is to quantify them. Right. What does your knowledge look like in terms of services or products? If you're really into fashion, right, and you know you're into shoes and things of that nature, right, then you have found a problem where, I'm giving you an example, you found a problem where there are women who just have larger size feet than normal, right? So what are you going to do? You're going to be smart after you've done all your market research, and you are going to leverage the fact that, number one, you love fashion, number two, you love making women feel confident and sexy, and you want to be in the digital space. So therefore, you will open up an online shoe store and you will niche it down to where you're just selling shoes size 10 to 14 that are affordable and stylish, because you maybe have that wholesaling background. You have that fashion retail. You have all of these core strengths that you could bring to solving the problem for someone. If it's service oriented, then, of course, what does that look like, right? How are you going to quantify, i.e. package your knowledge, your strengths, right? What does that look like? Are you consulting, right? Are you offering ongoing coaching services? Are you a business advisor? What are you doing? Are you a branding expert? What does that look like? What packages are you offering? So pretty much that's what you have to do. Once you start your business, you have to know how you're going to quantify your core strengths, package them, and offer them to solve solutions for people.
Now I'm going to jump into an Instagram question, but before I jump into the question that I originally wanted to ask you, I want to ask you this. So when you're working with your clients or you're looking around, because I know you always keep your ear to the street when it comes to Instagram, and you see people that say, I'm this slash that slash that slash that slash that slash that, like it's like 15 slashes, you know, they do everything. What does that make you think of in terms of how they're positioning themselves and their core strengths? Is it too much? Is there a such thing as too much and sort of like overstating maybe your place and what you do in the market?
Abso-freaking-lutely. Absolutely. And I'm going to say absolutely, and then I'm also going to say maybe, right?
Okay.
Let's just answer from the point of absolutely. Let's just say you are online and your rundown says you're this, you're that, you're this, you're that, and so many different things. Now, if they are not correlated in any goddamn shape, form, or fashion,
right,
there's no way I'm not saying you don't have those, the knowledge, right? But there's no way in hell, because right now the goal, and especially now with so many entrepreneurs popping up, right? With so much action and activity going on in the digital space, right? You need to be able to speak to one specific person who has a problem that you can solve, right? So the key is to not confuse people, right? So if you're telling me you do this, you do that, you do that, and they, and there's no way in this universe that they are even correlated, that's going to be questionable. It is absolutely going to be questionable. Now, if you're maybe saying you know how to do events, and you're a branding person, and you know how to do websites, and then your social media, there's some correlation there, because this all falls under the marketing spectrum. So yes, that's believable, right? So then things could be packaged and quantified. But no, you cannot service all people. So if you are listing things that it's just way too much, people are going to question that. People truly are, right? I'll just take Womeneur as an example. If I'm saying I'm a holistic strategist, right? Holistic strategist means I definitely have knowledge in startup, even though my specialty is there, but I could hold the conversation down with social media, branding, marketing, events, sponsorship, because that all falls under the umbrella of startups or even operating a business. So you cannot put yourself out there to confuse people. Think about what is going to be the first thoughts of when someone reads your bio or looks at something that you do, etc. It's just not going to make sense. And if it doesn't make sense, then you're going to have to pull back or, you know, do something to make that message correlate with just one thing.
Right, right. Yeah, I like that. You hit it home for sure. And you know, the one thing that I do want to add to that too is let's think strategy. Let's not think so much in the moment, ladies, especially as we're going into the new year and we feel refreshed, like all these opportunities are awaiting us. Think about not just the day-to-day, think of it, what does it look like long-term? How will this be perceived? How can I package and position this? And that doesn't, it really, to me, it doesn't matter what we're talking about, you know, because if, especially if you're thinking about switching careers, okay, well, what kinds of things can you package together now that can make you more appealing as you go to pitch and position yourself for a different type of career or a different type of position, maybe even. So just thinking strategy is a good way to go and approach that type of thing. So Sharon, you hosted a Instagram Live recently on 5 ways to empower yourself and develop self-confidence in business. And I think that that's self-confidence in business, especially if you aren't someone who's been operating in this outward sort of space and you're used to just sort of being told what to do and checking the boxes and all of that, that can be a bit intimidating sometimes. Can you share with us a few of those ways that you sort of covered in that Instagram Live?
Absolutely. Being a business owner or, you know, just being in the entrepreneur space itself can be very overwhelming, right? Yeah. And so developing self-confidence goes hand in hand with knowing how to empower yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And so empowering yourself is getting your state of mind, because it's all in your head,
right,
into a space where you really believe you're the shit and you know what you're doing. And regardless of what people are saying or doing, you are going to be able to move forward confidently. At the end of the day, that's what it is. So yes, I would love to share some of them, right? So one of the things in order to empower yourself is to respect the process of entrepreneurship, right? You need to really understand what you're up against, right? Mm-hmm. If you know that you're going to be up against long days, long nights, right? Sacrificing, socializing, you know, your best friend of 20 years is just not supporting you. parents that, you know, just love you to the moon and back. They're like looking at you like, girlfriend, what in the hell are you doing? Right? So, knowing that there's going to be so many no's, doors slammed in your face, people looking down on you, people belittling you, people not believing in you, people not cheering you on. If you mentally prepare yourself for these things, when they do occur, you will literally let them roll off your back, right? Mm-hmm. And so you have to learn to respect the process. Know what you're going into. Don't fall into the damn hype, right? One of those, the other thing was stop comparing yourself. We know what happens when you compare yourself, right? People are comparing themselves to people for all the wrong reasons, right? We have to understand that we're in different chapters of our lives. And one of the things that I'm very steadfast about is major media and social media consumption and allowing that to degrade you, because we're looking at people's quotes, successes on social media. Mm-hmm. Major media is dictating what success looks like. Major media is dictating what success sounds like. Major media is dictating what success looks like and feels like. And if you don't fit into that box, and it's a very tiny damn box, right, then you are going to start feeling like you're not successful, mm-hmm, right? You know, these women who tend to put these Chanel bags or put their feet up with their red bottoms on a desk, that's not success. And I say that in all earnest because, you know what? While this person, listen, we all like to treat ourselves. While right, that person is focused on the goddamn bag, mm-hmm, my question in my head is, do they own stock in the damn company? Right. That's my first question. Or you know what? The other person, I know myself, I'm focused on my mortgages. I have mortgages to pay. So therefore, you know, if you see me walking around in $40 shoes, who gives a shit? Right. So stop comparing. We all have to recognize that we are on different journeys. We're on different chapters and we have different goals and different strategies to get us to where we want to go. So, you know, look at that person who's successful and step your damn game up, but don't feel like you need to copy exactly what they're doing, and feed and consume your mind with stuff that major media is not dictating to you, because, you know, surround yourself with people who are going to uplift you. Right. I mean, another one was just, you know, pay attention to what doesn't make you feel good and what makes you feel good, mm-hmm, right? If you're in a, you have to empower your mind, right? Because it's constantly what you listen to, right? So you have to pay attention to what doesn't feel good and what does feel good. If you're around someone and you walk away questioning, well, did they take a dig at me? Oh, wow. You know, what do they mean? Oh, I just don't feel good. That mm-hmm conversation didn't feel right. Pay attention to that shit. Yeah. Right? And remove yourself from that person or those people. Go around things that make you feel good. If it's a 5-minute bath at night or 10-minute, you know, bath at night, do that. If it's one person that you have to go around that pours into you, good conversation. What are your goals? You know, they listen to what you said. Oh, I had a business meeting last week. Oh, I had a client meeting. And they follow up with you on that. That's something that's going to pour into you. So, you know, pay attention to what makes you feel good and what doesn't make you feel good, you know?
I like it. So you facilitate the Womenor Collective through your platform for entrepreneurs. Why is it important for you to create an environment for women supporting other women?
It's extremely important. Mm-hmm. I am who I say I am.
Yeah.
I am all about advocating women's empowerment. Mm-hmm. And sadly, in my opinion, since I have entered this space 2 years ago, I have just been sorely disappointed from what I witnessed. I see a lot of women who are about women's empowerment, but then I also, sadly and unfortunately, have interacted with too many people who say they're all about women's empowerment, but they're talking shit. They're not. And I've interacted with them in real life or in a communication on an email or what have you.
You better preach.
And just been sorely disappointed, because these are people that are being looked up to. These are the people that are doing well, being, you know, these, honestly, in my opinion, are the people that just keeps being recycled and rotated. Yeah. Right. So I really feel obligated to share my 11 and a half plus years of entrepreneurship. And so I created Womenor Collective so that I can empower women to empower themselves to be kick-ass at what they want to do. Right. And that on average is reach financial freedom. Right. But reach financial freedom from doing what they love. And so I created the collective community to allow women, around the world, because it is global, to have that community, to not feel judged, to be able to ask each other questions, not feel belittled because they're in a different chapter of their lives, and literally to be hands-on. I am hands-on in this space. I'm sharing my knowledge, and I literally want to see these women do well. And it's important for me to make them realize what it takes to be on this journey and how to develop yourself mentally and how to develop yourself successfully as a businesswoman. And this is extremely important to me. It's what I eat, live, and breathe. It's what I've been known, it's what I'm being known for. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I will probably die doing.
I love it. I love it. And I feel your passion. And, you know, we've been following each other and connected on social media for years now. And you are one of those people who's genuine about it. And I know you're genuine about it. And I can see it through the work that you do and the efforts that you make to connect people, to put them on, to highlight people, all of that. So I definitely applaud you and all of the work that you've done thus far, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. And I know, you know, I know that there's a lot of truth in what you say about experiencing some people who maybe this is just a business for them. They speak and preach women's empowerment, but they don't really believe it. They don't really operate in it. They don't really own it. They don't really, it's not really their thing. It's just another business thing for them. And I want to get your opinion about that. Where do you see that sort of taking the culture and the space that we're operating in now? Because I feel like you and I started in this space maybe around the same time. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that we've both seen it grow and seen, like, I remember when I first started the Instagram account, and it at the time it was called Life According to Her, as everybody knows by now, probably. But when I first started it, I felt like there weren't that many people speaking to women, supporting other women. And I wanted to be a part of that conversation, especially because what I was seeing, and like you said, in mainstream media, was all the negative and all the cattiness and all the, you know, just the bitchy things and the coming for each other and just being negative. And I knew that in my everyday life experiences, I wasn't experiencing that. I didn't have people that I called friends that treated me like that or so-called supported me, but they really, you know, did it behind my back. So I wanted to help to start a conversation around being, you know, supportive. And I've since seen the space just flourish and grow, which is a great thing because I think that conversation should expand. But where do you see it going with the sort of, I call it fugazi people that don't really mean it any good intention and are just there for the money? How do you sort of perceive that? And where do you see that like taking shape within like maybe the next few years?
That's a really good question. Listen, as long as there is going to be social media, as long as people are going to be able to really look good on the outward, right? On the outside, right? As long as they could put on a good lipstick, wear a good high-end luxury bag, put on a damn pump, and put themselves in a nice dress or suit, this behavior will continue. As long as social media and major media keeps dictating and saying that this is what success looks, sounds, and feels like, it's not going any goddamn where, right? These people are here to take advantage of the system. And I have system in quotes, right? And it will continue, unfortunately. Some people will fade out or die off. It's like celebrities, right? You're hot for the moment, right? That's what happens. But some will, of course, continue, and they just won't have the spotlight. Now, the big difference is those people who don't have the goddamn spotlight, they, trust me, will stop and fall off the map. Right? Because it's not real for them. They are bathing in the spotlight, right? They're being, I call it swapping each other's spit, right? Because it's this click, right? Well, that's what I call it, right? Because you know what? We all know Oprah Winfrey, but you know, I call out Carla Harris. I wonder how many people could raise their hands and say they know who she is, right? But my point is they're all being recycled, swapping each other's spit. And so, yes, it's going to continue, unfortunately. But like I just said, I really feel like those people who no longer have the spotlight will not provide or continue or be as consistent. However, those people who are real about it and really are about advocating women's empowerment, whether the goddamn spotlight is on them or not, they will continue to do what they say they do. Mm. And those are the people, in my opinion, that will last for years. And those are the people that will have that, I say, underground following.
Yeah.
And I say underground only because, you know, they're not walking across a major media platform stage or influencer is not talking about them. People need to do their goddamn homework and see, learn about people who are really making impacts. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's my two cents on it.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? And I want everybody to know, I wanted to get Sharon's two cents on it because I know that a lot of you reach out to me and you say that, you know, you want to start a women's empowerment platform and I want to empower other women with my story and this and that. And I asked Sharon's insight on that for two reasons. One, because I want you to be aware of your intentions behind it and not just thinking that it's a fad and you see somebody else's perceived success with it. So you think that's an easy come up for you. So you want to do that. And I also want you to be aware that if you are true and genuine about it in your heart, you don't have to have throngs of followers. You don't have to have throngs of people singing your praises or this clique that supports you and doesn't support anybody else, yet they're women's empowerment. You don't have to have the acceptance of them to do your thing and to shine. And people will gravitate to you if you are genuine about it and if you're true and if you have some kind of message that you really feel passionate about getting out there. So that's why I wanted her to speak on that, because I know a lot of you are sort of entertaining this idea. So whichever way you decide to go with it, you know, it's up to you. But
absolutely. Everything you said is hit on the nail. It's truly not a fad. You really have to be passionate about it. You really, truly do. You know, I'll just give you one example. I know this woman by the name of Carla Harris. Listen, mm-hmm. woman barely has any followers on social media, right? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so what's happening now is this is how you're being judged, right? You go to someone's
right.
Well, let's keep that shit real, right? You go to someone's, well, not me, I don't, but I'm just saying on average, this is what's yep. happening. You go to someone's social media page, you see that they don't have a lot of likes or there's barely any activity. No one's in your community is engaging with them. And then you brush them off and you yep. dismiss them.
Yep.
This woman that I know, she, number one, is killing it, right? Mm-hmm. And no, she doesn't have a lot of followers and this, that, and the other, but guess what? Her ass was a panelist on Inc. Magazine's Inc. Summit, right? Ooh. So she obviously is doing something right,
exactly.
right? Her and a lot of other women are doing that. Just follow people's stories and get away from the goddamn limelight bullshit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that, you know what? And I think that that's like a key thing that you just said right there, because I try and tell people this all the time. A lot of the major players and the people that are really making those behind the scenes decisions and really making the moves, mm-hmm. they are not the people on social media with tons and tons of followers, because exactly. let me just clarify something for you guys real quick.
Exactly.
And I know this from experience. A, when I worked at the NBA, I had a Instagram account, but it was private. I didn't even have a Facebook. And I was rubbing elbows with all the celebrities on the red carpet, everything else, day to day. But you know why I wasn't out there like that? Because I was too busy working.
Exactly.
I had real things that I had to do. And
exactly.
also, I knew that by putting myself out there because of the position that I was in, I was then opening myself up to scrutiny, and not from a community of social media followers, but of a community of executives that could make or break my future. So I had to be smart about things. So some of the people that you might dismiss and overlook, they are not the people that you really want to dismiss and overlook. And they're not going to be the popping the most people on social media. They might be the decision makers, though. So you might want to learn about them, like Sharon said. Now, can you go ahead and tell us Carla's Instagram so that we can just shout her out and show her some love so people can go check out who you're talking about?
Wait, not Carla. I didn't mean to call. Okay, Carla. I didn't mean Carla Harris. Sorry. I meant, I did mean Carla Harris when
yes.
I said her earlier. Carol Sankar. right?
Oh, okay, okay.
This woman's name, but I did mean Paula Harris early on when I mentioned her,
yes,
right?
Yes, you did.
Mm-hmm. I don't know who she is. But just now, I'm talking about Carol Sankar. And listen, you look at her account, there's barely anything popping. But listen, mm-hmm. her ass was sitting on a panel, like I said, at the Inc. Magazine Summit, right? So she obviously...
right, she's doing something. She knows her stuff.
She's definitely sitting with the decision makers, period. Right.
So
Carol Sankar, literally Carol, S-A-N-K-A-R Sankar.
Perfect. 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 I love that. I love that. So you guys go check her out and find out more about her. So now, Sharon, when somebody says to you, one of your clients says to you, I can't believe that I'm about to let another year pass, too busy with daily life to make significant progress on my big goals and dreams. How do you advise them? What do you say to them? How do you light a fire under them?
The quickest way, in my opinion, to light a fire under anyone is to give them a reality check, okay? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And to give them the fiercest constructive criticism and to let them know or to tell them things that they need to hear that they're probably not hearing, right? So, you know, if people need a fire lit on their ass, honestly, in terms of my clients, I have to assess what's happening, right? Like, what are they not doing and where are they going?
Right.
Right. Where do they want to be? Mm-hmm. And what are they not doing to get it? And a lot of the times it's because people truly don't want to do the work. It has absolutely nothing to do with them being tired or them being too busy. That's all bullshit. Right.
Yes.
Because you will find the time for the things you want to do. Listen, I sit here every day and I'm really consumed with my work now, even with an assistant. Mm-hmm. My daily to-do list overwhelms me sometimes. But the difference between that person who's going to fall off and the difference between that person who's going to succeed is trust and believe they are doing the work. They are finding time to do the work, number one, and they are doing it even when they don't want to. And I mean, they're sitting their ass down at 12 o'clock at midnight when everyone else is going to sleep and they're doing that work. So I tell my clients, you know, first of all, get out of the goddamn excuses. Stop making excuses and let's look at what really is the problem, right? That's pretty much what it is. You really have to look at where your priorities are. You really have to decide that if you want to get ahead, you have to decide to do what the hell it takes. No excuses, like absolutely none. If that means pulling it all nighter, because trust me, when I first started my career as an entrepreneur, I was pulling so many all-nighters. So you really have to decide, cut out the bullshit, shut down the bullshit, shut out the noise, get rid of all the other, you know, shit that's irrelevant, and sit down and do your goddamn work. That literally, point blank, period. That's it.
Well, we could not have ended on a better note. Do the work. It's basically like, you can't be lazy if you want to be successful. Do the work. That's it. That's what it comes down to. So Sharon, let everybody know how they can keep up with you and your platform, Womanure, and how they can just find you and contact you maybe.
Absolutely. Well, you can find me across most social media platforms, meaning Twitter and Facebook and the domain, the website and Instagram is Womanure, WOMENEUR. And so definitely follow me on Instagram. I have a large presence on that. And also, if you want to connect with me, you can email me at womanure@gmail.com. You can shoot me a DM. I may not get to it right away. But shoot me a DM. Also, if you ladies are interested to be a part of the Womanure Collective, there are currently over 100 members, literally on a global platform. Literally, they're from Australia, Israel, Romania, the islands, and across the states. Definitely join. It's $25 a month. You receive a shitload of resources, great value. That also is wc.womanure.com. Also, all of the links are available in the bio, in the Women Are Instagram, in the link in the bio. So awesome. Definitely, if you're interested, reach out and follow me.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Sharon, for joining us today. This has been an awesome conversation. Definitely insightful and, as always, motivating.
Thank you so much for having me, Ayanna. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And as always, you guys, keep killing it.